بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who follow in his footsteps, who follow his guidance, who follow his sunnah, his way, until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When the month of Ramadan would come, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. This hadith is found in Sunan al-Nasa'i. He would say, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ, that the month of Ramadan has come to all of you. The month of Ramadan has come to all of you. شَهْرٌ مُبَارَك. It is a month of barakah, a blessed month. And that's why we find many Muslims, when the month of Ramadan comes about, they say Ramadan Mubarak. Some say Ramadan Kareem. But the more correct phrase to use is Ramadan Mubarak. Because Kareem means generous. And we know that the generosity comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not from the month. The month is a blessed month, and the one who provides us with this blessings, or with these blessings, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is indeed a blessed month, because when you fast the month of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. That whosoever fasts the month of Ramadan out of faith and seeking the rewards, he will have his past sins forgiven. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Of course, this is referring to minor sins. So that in itself is a very great barakah, a very great blessing. So he said, شَهْرٌ مُبَارَك. It is Mubarak also because the Qur'an was revealed in this month. Of all the months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the month of Ramadan as the month in which the Qur'an was revealed. It is a blessed month because the one who stands up in night prayers, in Taraweeh, will have his past sins forgiven. It is a blessed month because of all the virtues that are encapsulated in this month, which have been spoken about in previous lectures. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes on and he says, افْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ صِيَامَهُ. افْتَرَضَ means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated all of you. افْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ صِيَامَهُ. Allah has obligated Muslims to fast. And we know in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 183, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That, O you who have believed, siyam, fasting, has been prescribed for you. Now here he used the word, Allah uses the word, kutiba. Kutiba, the ulama said, ay furida. In other words, it has been mandated. It is obligatory. It has been obligated. So, it is obligated to fast as it was prescribed for those before you, in order that you gain taqwa, so that you may gain taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he said, افْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ صِيَامَهُ تُفْتَحُ فِيهِ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. During the month of Ramadan, the abwab, the gates, the doors of Jannah are opened. وَتُغْلَقُ فِيهِ أَبْوَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. And the abwab, or the gates of Jahim. Jahim meaning Jahannam, the hellfire. What about the gates of the hellfire? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing us in this hadith, فِيهِ وَتُغْلَقُ فِيهِ أَبْوَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. The gates of Al-Jahim, of Jahannam, are closed. They are closed.
وَتُغَلُّ فِيهِ الشَّيَاطِينَ.
and the devils are shackled. The devils are chained up. And this is referring to not the chiefs, not the head honchos of the devils, but they are the ones who are not chained up. It is the other devils. فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. He said, in it, meaning in the month of Ramadan, is a laylah. Laylah is one night. Laylah. فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ. خَيْرٌ means better. Okay? Better than أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Better than 1,000 months. Which is equivalent to how many months? How many years? 83 years and 0.3 years or 0.4. Okay, if we're rounding up, we say 83.4 years of worship. 83.3333 when you do the calculation. So, one night is equivalent, one night of worship is equivalent in reward and in virtue to 83 years and 4 months of worship. Alf shahr. 1,000 months. مَنْ حُرِمَا خَيْرَهَا فَقَدْ حُرِمْ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sealed off this hadith, his words, by saying that whoever is deprived of its good, then he has truly been deprived. Yani he is really in great loss. The one who does not take advantage of Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, which is known in English as the night of decree. The night of decree. So today, inshaAllah ta'ala, our presentation is about Laylatul Qadr in light of one of the chapters of the Quran dedicated to Laylatul Qadr. A Meccan surah, a surah that was revealed in the Mecca period, was revealed prior to the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. It consists of only 5 verses, and it is called Suratul Qadr, found in Juz' Amma. Now, what we do know from the Sunnah about Laylatul Qadr is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That whoever stands in prayer or stands up during, now the standing here, qiyam, means standing in prayer. That whoever stands in prayer during Laylatul Qadr, again, out of faith, out of iman, and expecting the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be forgiven his past sins. So, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity in Ramadan to have your sins wiped away, to have your sins erased, obliterated. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you fast Ramadan out of faith and expecting the rewards from Allah, your sins are forgiven. You stand up in night prayers, Taraweeh, out of faith, expecting the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your sins are forgiven. You stand up during Laylatul Qadr in night prayers and performing acts of worship out of faith and expecting the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your sins are forgiven. So these ahadith or these traditions, these words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are exclusive to the month of Ramadan. And that's why we say Ramadan Mubarak. It has lots of barakah, lots of blessings. So, beginning this surah, after Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Inna, we have. Now here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he refers to himself in the plural, we, not in the singular. Inna. Now this is a form that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he uses throughout the Qur'an, that we have, which signifies His power and His authority. It's not that there is more than one God. Okay, and this is something that kings and queens use. They say, you know, shall we do this or do that? So they refer to themselves being singular in the plural case. And this is a feature of language. And what it represents is authority and power. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna anzalnahu, nazala is the verb to come down, to descend. Inna anzalnahu, we have sent it down. Sent it. Anzalnahu is a pronoun referring to something else. Who? And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the Quran. Inna anzalnahu fi in laylatul qadr. In laylatul qadr or during laylatul qadr. Now we know that the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elsewhere in the Quran, He says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed in. And we also know, okay, from another verse in Surah Ad-Dukhan, chapter 44 from the Quran, verse number 3, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. That we have sent it down on a blessed night. So, Laylatul Qadr is a blessed night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this in the Quran. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. It is a night of barakah. It is a night of blessing. So the Quran was sent down during Ramadan. It was sent down during Laylatul Qadr, which is one of the nights of Ramadan. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what will make you know what Laylatul Qadr is? So here it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whetting our appetites. You know, just making us wait for more. So وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And then He informs us about the virtue of Laylatul Qadr. And He says, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. He says, Laylatul Qadr khayrun is better than alf. Alf means 1,000. Shahr is month. It is better than 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. He said, تنزل الملائكة. The ملائكة is plural for ملك. ملك is one angel. Like you have ملك الموت, the angel of death. ملك. ملائكة is the plural. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are made out of light, out of nur, and they only do as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated them to do. They don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in the Quran. تَنَزَّلُ. Again, this, we have this descending. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ. The ruh here, ruh literally means spirit. Ruh or soul. But in this context, it is in reference to who? To the angel, to the greatest of the angels, Angel Jibril, Angel Gabriel. Notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He excluded him from the malaika. He is from amongst the malaika. He is from the angels. But to allude and to signify the great status of Jibril, He singled him out. And this is something that is done with great people. So for example, if you want to talk about a convoy, indeed He knows that it is during the month of Ramadan and that it is the 27th night. Then He swore by Allah. Zir then said, how do you know that? And Ubay replied, by a sign or an indication that he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informed us of. It rises that next day having no rays on it, meaning the sun. And this must have happened during his time. Imam Ahmad also recorded from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about Laylatul Qadr, إنها ليلة سابعة أو تاسعة وعشرين وإن الملائكة تلك الليلة في الأرض أكثر من عدد الحصى. This is an amazing hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, it is during the 27th or the 29th night, and verily the angels who are on the earth during that night are more numerous than the number of pebbles. More numerous than the number of pebbles. Imagine the dunya and how it is filled with the malaika. And we know that whenever you say, whenever you make dua, whenever you are making dua, the angels are saying ameen. When you make dua for your Muslim brother behind his back, your Muslim sister behind their back, the malaika, they say, Ameen wa laka bimithil. Ameen, meaning, oh Allah, accept his supplication. And to you is the same. There is another opinion, and this is the final opinion, that it moves from one year to the next. That Laylatul Qadr is not limited to one night. It's not limited to the evenings of, to one specific or one particular exclusive evening from amongst the odd days of the last 10 days of Ramadan. But that it moves from one year to the next. That this year it could be the eve of the 21st, and next year it could be the eve of the 23rd, and the following year the eve of the 25th. This is another scholarly opinion that is in circulation. And this is the view that At-Tirmidhi mentions from Abu Qilaba, has been also recorded by Malik, Al-Thawri, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Ishaq ibn Rahaway, Abu Thawr, Al-Muzani, and others. It has also been related from Al-Shafi'i, and Al-Qadi reported it from him, and يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And when you listen to all of this talk about Laylatul Qadr, and that it could be on this night, or it could be on that night, or it might even rotate, what do you think the wise thing to do? The wise thing to do is take advantage of all of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And what about if we got it wrong from the beginning? What about if we started later or started earlier than the actual day that we should have fasted? So that's why it's important to work hard during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have tightened his waist material, like his waist belt. Shadda mi'zarahu. That he didn't, as some ulama said, have intimate relations with his wives. Because he was engaged with ibadah. He worked hard, like we say, he rolled up his sleeves. You roll up your sleeves or you pull up your socks. That's what's required of Muslims during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Now, what should a person do, or what should a person say during the last, during Laylatul Qadr? This very question was asked to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by none other than his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Aisha, she said to him, Ya Rasulullah, a messenger of Allah, if I find the night of Qadr, if it is Laylatul Qadr, what should I say? He said, Quli, say, Allahumma innaka afuun, tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. SubhanAllah, how he kept it very simple. He kept a very important dua, very simple for such an important night. Allahumma innaka afuun, tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Which means, oh Allah, Allahumma innaka afuun. You are one who pardons. You are one who forgives. Tuhibbu al-afwa. You love to forgive. Tuhibbu al-afwa. You love to forgive. فَعْفُ عَنِّي. So, forgive me. And when you are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amazing things can happen to you in this life. And amazing things can happen to you in the hereafter, in the akhirah. During Laylatul Qadr, one of the best acts of worship you can do is qiyam. Is to stand up in night prayers. Is to perform dhikrullah, saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku, wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Also to engage in istighfar. Istighfar is whereby you are constantly saying, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah al-azim, astaghfirullah al-azim wa atubu ilayk. That means you're asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Again and again, repeating these words and engaging in dua. Ad-du'a, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, huwa al-ibadah. Dua is ibadah. Dua, with dua there is a connection between dua and between our faith, our aqidah and our creed. Because through dua you are acknowledging the uluhiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is deserving of your dua. Or your dua is directed only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not asking others. Through your dua, you are acknowledging the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is the Rabb. That He is the Lord. That He is the one who is capable of answering your dua. This is the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through dua, you also are implementing the tawheed of al-asma' wa-sifat. The tawheed of the names and the attributes of Allah. Because when you make dua, you use the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, Ya Rahman irhamni. Ya Tawwab. O Allah, O one who repents the sins, forgive me. And so you're using the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During Laylatul Qadr, when you make dua, begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Alhamdulillah. And then begin with sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And say, Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Then begin your dua. And when you say your dua, make sure that you have a present heart. That you have an attentive heart. Don't be hasty. It is sunnah to raise your hands. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever raises his hands in dua, Allah becomes shy. Allah becomes shy for your hands to be returned back without having given you something. It is also sunnah to be facing the qibla. It is also sunnah to have wudu. It is also from amongst, yani, the conditions for your dua to be accepted. Is that you ensure that your body hasn't been nourished by means of haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned a man who is traveling. He gave the analogy of a man who is traveling. And his hair is ash'ath, disheveled. Aghbar, he's full of dust, his clothes are dirty. He's a traveler, and we know that the dua of a traveler is accepted. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنا يستجاب لذلك. He said his drink, his food is from haram. His drink is from haram. His clothes, the clothing that he's wearing is from haram. And he has been nourished on haram. How is his dua going to be accepted? And he's saying, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. That's why it's very important for us to always be in a state of halal. To be in a state that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all of our income is from a halal and not haram source. That our body that we've nourished this body with, this vehicle that is carrying our soul, has been nourished, nurtured by means of halal means. And also don't be hasty. Don't be hasty when it comes to your dua. When it comes to dua, when you make a dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either answer your dua and give you what you want, number one. Or number two, He may give you something better than the dua that you asked for. So you may not have gotten what you wanted, but Allah gives you better than the dua that you made. Because Allah at the end of the day knows what is best for you. You might think that what you are yearning for, that what you want is good for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. But Allah knows and you do not know. And Allah says, عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. You might love something, but it is bad for you. So, when it comes to dua, your dua may be answered. Or Allah gives you better than your dua. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of your dua, He veers away, He wards off a harm that was coming your way. There was a harm coming your way, and because you made dua and you acknowledged the uluhiyya and the rububiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He redirects that haram or that harm. That harm is removed. It is taken away and you are not affected. So dua is always accepted as long as you are sincere. As long as you have the ikhlas, as long as you have a present heart. And that's not possible if you don't know what you are saying. How are you going to say a dua if you don't know what you're saying? How are you going to have a present heart? So therefore make dua in your language as well. Yes, the best of duas are the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such as رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Learn these dua and know the meanings of the dua so you can have a present heart. Otherwise, how are you going to have a present and an attentive heart? Because the ikhlas factor is very important. Allah understands all languages. Make dua in your language. Make dua through the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and repeat your dua. 3 times is the sunnah. Repeating your dua 3 times. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever says, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. That whoever says, oh Allah, grant me jannah, grant me jannah, grant me jannah. 3 times, jannah says, oh Allah, grant him jannah. Jannah makes dua for you. And likewise with jahannam. The one who says 3 times, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam. Jahannam says, Allahumma ajirhu min adhabi jahannam. Oh Allah, protect him from the punishment of jahannam. So make dua more than once. Make it again and again. Make it in your sujood when you are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make it between the adhan and the iqamah instead of socializing at the masjid or playing with your phone or any other gadget. Make dua, raise your hands while you're waiting for the imam and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change your whole life around. Make dua as a fasting person. Make dua between Asr and between Maghrib on Yawm al-Jum'ah, on the day of Friday, when the dua again is highly accepted. Make dua when it is raining. Make dua in the third part of the night when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in a manner that befits His majesty and asks, who is making dua so I can answer their supplication? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He praise those who make dua during the suhoor period. وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Those who make istighfar during the suhoor period, that period of barakah. So let us not undermine and underestimate the merit and the virtue and the power of dua. Yes, power. Dua is the weapon of a mu'min. It is the silah. الدُّعَاء السِّلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. It is the weapon of a believer. Sometimes you don't have anything to offer. You want to offer, but you don't have. You offer your dua. You offer your dua to the people that are around you, to the people that are in poverty-stricken countries, people who are being oppressed, people who are being tortured, people who are being humiliated and disgraced, our very own people, our brothers and sisters in Islam. dua, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, during these last 10 nights of Ramadan. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change you for the better. Or maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ward off some harm that was coming to get you. Because in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يرد القضاء إلا الدعاء. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that what actually changes the qada and qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal is dua. That's what changes it. That's the only thing that can change harm that was coming to before you. There was some harm that was coming to before you, and then you make dua and then it is removed and driven away. These are the words I leave you with, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength and the energy and the zeal to worship Him in the manner in which He loves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasting, to accept our taraweeh, to accept our recitation of the Quran, to accept our ruku', our sujood, and our dua during this noble month. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.